Adam Vingan, Connor Newt, Brandon Bigsby here with you following our IndyCar race coverage. Willie Donick and Derek Mason out on vacation this week. Not together, separate vacations, but they happen to be gone at the same time. Both of them will be back a week from today, July 27th. So Connor and Brandon will be joining me all week. Say hello, everybody.
Hello. I mean, we talk 5 days a week. You all know who I am.
Yes.
I have been freed from the shackles of behind the glass, and now I'm in the studio. So excited to be here.
Yes, I now occupy those shackles for the next week, but excited to do so. I think this is only the second time I've gotten to work with you, Adam. So excited to be with you for the next few days. Me and Connor obviously have worked together on some stuff, so should be fun. Looking forward to it.
Yes, the only other time Brandon and I worked together was the Monday following that terrible, terrible ice storm in Nashville. Brandon produced the show. It was me and Parker Kelly. If you recall last week, I told the story about eating day-old McDonald's.
That was that day.
That was that day.
I think I was in a hotel room, or I was on my way to a hotel room that day because we didn't have power.
I needed energy, and nothing was open, and there was a day old, I assume it was day old, I hope it was only a day old, Egg McMuffin or something, and I scarfed it down. It didn't feel great, but it got me through the program. So a much more enjoyable experience this time around with Brandon Bigsby. I'm looking forward to this week. We will spend the week, of course, previewing Titans training camp. And starting tomorrow through Friday, for an hour every day, we're going to have a different Titans reporter in studio. Tomorrow, Terry McCormick will join us. Wednesday, Nick Suss. Thursday, Easton Freeze. And Friday, Teron Davenport. Normally, TD joins us today. He will not be joining us today. He will be joining us in studio on Friday. A belated congratulations to Spain on winning the World Cup yesterday against Argentina. Admittedly, I did not watch the entire match. I watched the end. Very exciting. And even if you aren't a soccer fan, I think you can appreciate how dominant Spain was throughout the World Cup. Spain allowed one goal in, what, 8 matches?
Yeah.
Incredible. And Spain absolutely stifled Messi in Argentina yesterday. So congratulations to Spain. Soccer, thank you for the content.
We'll see you in 4 years.
We'll probably see you in 4 years. But thank you for the content. Thank you for the Flo Balogun red card that shouldn't have been a red card. And Freddie, the random German dude. And the Scottish fans drinking all of the beer in Boston. You provided so much content for us in one of the slowest times of the sports calendar. So for that, we salute you. But I do want to start today's program on something that I think is tailor-made for Connor and me. Okay?
I know what this is.
Is Tom Brady in the middle of a midlife crisis? That is a question a lot of people are asking because of what Tom Brady has been doing over the past few days. So in case you missed it, there's this gigantic festival, I guess you can call it, called Fanatics Fest that's held, I think, every summer in New York City. They get all of these A-list celebrities. They pay them a ton of money. I mean, I can't even imagine how much money Fanatics shells out for all of these A-list celebrities and athletes to show up at this convention hall in New York City. But there was a viral clip of Tom Brady slapping Logan Paul in the face. Logan Paul, influencer / WWE wrestler. Karl Anthony Towns was there, I think, separating the two. And then there was another video of Tom Brady and Logan Paul at the World Cup final with Tom Brady giving Logan Paul the finger and Logan Paul needing to be held back by, I believe, Fanatics founder Michael Rubin. And I have absorbed all of the commentary on this, Connor, today, and man, there are so many people who are wondering, is Tom Brady okay? even as wrestling fans, I think you and I can agree that this is probably beneath Tom Brady.
Yes.
But it is humorous to see how many people seemingly are concerned about Tom Brady's well-being because of all of the stuff he's been doing lately.
It's you're right. It's as much as I love the WWE and I love professional wrestling, this is beneath Brady. I mean, Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, in my opinion. You could argue the greatest player in NFL history. And now he's stooping to the level of fake fighting. Sorry, not fake. I don't like it when people say fake. Scripted fighting is more what I was looking for. I don't, as a fan, I don't want to see this. I don't think we really need to see this. I'm good. I would like to see wrestling be handled by the professionals that are on a weekly basis, not some quarterback in his mid-50s looking for something to do. I just don't understand the discourse. I mean, the discourse around it is he okay? And I'm kind of wondering the same thing. How much money are they offering him? And if that's so, you're offering him this much money, why?
But he doesn't need money.
He doesn't need it.
How much money did he make in his NFL career? How much is Fox paying him to be their number one commentator on NFL games? How much are the Raiders paying him? Like, he doesn't need the money. And we all need someone in our lives who will tell us when we're doing something we shouldn't be doing. And I don't know who that person is for Tom Brady, but somebody needs to chime in here. And don't get me wrong, there are countless examples of celebrated athletes throwing their hats into the wrestling ring. I mean, Lawrence Taylor headlined a WrestleMania at one point. Lawrence Taylor. I mean, this past weekend, Karl Anthony Towns was in a wrestling ring at Madison Square Garden. Tom Brady's ex-teammate Rob Gronkowski has been involved in wrestling, if you want to keep it local.
I wonder if that's who talked him into it.
I don't know. But I mean, what was I just about to say? Locally, there I go. Locally, Pac-Man Jones, when he was suspended from the NFL, he was in TNA wrestling. Friend of the show, Jeff Jarrett, brought him in. Fun fact about that. Even though Pac-Man Jones wasn't playing that season, there were clauses in his contract that prevented him from taking part in non-football physical activities. So Jeff Jarrett and Steve Underwood had to come to an agreement where Pac-Man Jones would be allowed to be involved in a wrestling match, but he wasn't allowed to be physical. So Pac-Man Jones, actually a tag team champion in TNA with Ron the Truth Killings, a.k.a. R-Truth. But all Pac-Man Jones did was come in the ring and get the cover, I believe on Sting. So, I mean, look, there is a long, 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 long list of athletes trying wrestling. But I don't think Tom Brady needs to be that guy. One texter on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, says they're setting him up for being on a pay-per-view. There was a story in the news this past week about him wanting to perform in WWE. I heard Brady say something like that, but I thought it was just lip service, just to get people talking. I didn't expect this to become some sort of angle where he's given Logan Paul the bird at the World Cup final. So it seems like more than just lip service.
And Logan's hurt right now, too, I think. Like, he's got the torn, unless it's a work, and we're getting worked by it, but he's got, like, a torn labrum or something like that.
Jalen Brunson was in the ring over the weekend, says David from Watertown. Indeed, he was.
With Tyrese Halliburton.
But he wasn't involved in any physicality. Karl Anthony Towns executed two choke slams. So the two things can be true. Here's how we'll wrap this up. Two things can be true about whatever the hell is going on with Tom Brady. It's probably beneath him. He doesn't need the money. He doesn't need the exposure. But most of you are going to want to watch Tom Brady get in the ring. If next year at WrestleMania, which I believe is in Saudi Arabia, and it's supposed to be, by the way, the following year's WrestleMania was supposed to be here at the new Nissan Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But if Tom Brady gets into the wrestling ring at WrestleMania next spring, you know most of you are going to tune in because you're curious as hell. So two things could be true. Tom Brady, you don't need to be doing this, but also my curiosity is piqued, and that's all they really need, right?
I mean, Tom Brady fighting in the WWE would be what I refer to as a piss match, the kind of match that you feel comfortable getting up.
A popcorn match.
And taking a
piss. Another term for it.
Yes, that as well.
Yes.
I don't need to see Tom Brady and Logan Paul fight. I'm good. I'm all right.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the World Cup final. Again, congratulations to Spain. By the way, Greg Roberts on our text line says, MLS/Nashville SC disrespect. And I knew that this was going to come up. And I truly mean this with all due respect to all of our fanatical soccer fan listeners. I am not yucking your yum, as Caroline Fenton used to say. But for the casual soccer fans like myself, like Connor Newt, like many of you, we'll probably move on from soccer a little bit. Now, if Nashville SC tears it up, we'll discuss it. But there was just something about the World Cup, especially it being here in our country, on our continent, that made it a little extra special. So I liked the World Cup. I enjoyed the World Cup more than I anticipated when it started.
Me too.
I watched far more soccer this past month than I anticipated when the tournament started, and probably more soccer than I've ever watched in my life. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. So that's no disrespect to you, Greg, or any of our other Nashville SC fans who are listening. We are not denigrating your beloved sport. I just want to put that out there. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts as well on Tom Brady apparently getting ready to wrestle, which, again, he doesn't need to do it, but I think some of y'all are going to tune in just to see whatever the hell goes on. 615-737-1025. All right. SCC Media Days are underway in, for some reason, Tampa, Florida. By the way, SCC Media Days back here in Nashville next year. Mark your calendars. But SCC Media Days are underway in Tampa. And I've got a question. Which team is under more pressure in 2026? The Tennessee Volunteers or the Vanderbilt Commodores? We'll discuss coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. SCC Media Days are underway, and 102.5 The Game will have updates throughout the week. SCC Media Days coverage is brought to you by Shane Co., Tri-State Water, Power, and Air, and the Music City Kickoff Game featuring Ole Miss taking on Louisville September 6th at Nissan Stadium. Get your tickets now at NashvilleSports.com. Adam Vingan, Connor Newt, Brandon Bigsby here with you today and throughout the week. Willie Donick and Derek Mason on vacation, as I said, not together, separately, but they will both be back a week from today. Before we move on to our SCC Media Days conversation, Lenny on our text line says about Tom Brady, it's something that he wants to do. Why would you judge him based on what he wants to do? I just don't understand. I hope he's having fun and enjoying life. Go get him, Tom. This is my point, generally, Lenny and others. Tom Brady doesn't have to do this. Okay, he's not hurting for cash. His legacy is intact. He is arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. I don't know if you can really argue it, but people will. So I will say arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. He's got another job that pays him a ton of money to work. Well, he works more than one day a week. He's on TV once a week, and there's prep work that goes into that. But he's getting paid a ton of money for a relatively cushy job. I would say he's part owner of an NFL team. He doesn't need to be doing this. But I think, Connor, you can trace this back a little bit. It's not just the slap fight with Logan Paul or giving Logan Paul the finger the other day. It's doing one of those Netflix roasts. Yeah. And he's pimping Pizza Hut right now. Remember Tom Brady? He was drinking like avocado smoothies or something like that.
He released an energy drink.
Right. Tom Brady would never eat Pizza Hut, and yet he's hawking Pizza Hut? Like, they're like, I've just got some questions. That's all. I'm just wondering if there's somebody in Tom Brady's life who needs to check in on Tom Brady. That's all I'm saying. Look,
he's bored.
He's bored, and that's why when people tell you money doesn't buy you happiness, maybe they're right after all. I thought, hey, if I had as much money as Tom Brady, I would have a smile on my face 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but maybe not. I don't know if Tom Brady can't smile because of all of the chemicals he's injected into his face at this point in his life, but I digress. If he wants to do it, go nuts. All right, so SEC Media Days are underway in Tampa, Florida, and as I said before the break, Greg Sankey announced earlier today that SEC Media Days will return here to Nashville next year. It was held here in 2023. That is my only experience covering SEC Media Days. And let me tell you, Connor, it is an experience.
I imagine.
It's talking season. It fills a lot of notebooks. It fills a lot of airtime. But I remember doing a full week of coverage, leaving SEC Media Days and thinking to myself, did I really learn anything? All I learned at SEC Media Days 2023 is that the SEC has an official sausage. I believe it was Johnsonville at the time. I'm not sure if that's right. Still holds, but I went to get something to eat, and it was like Johnsonville, the official sausage of the SEC. And it's like, if you can have an official sausage, you're in good shape. So here's the question I want to discuss now, 615-737-1025. Which team is under more pressure in 2026, the Tennessee Volunteers or the Vanderbilt Commodores? Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Bear. Bear, thank you for calling and waiting. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Adam. I just wanted to say real quick with Tom, you know, he's been so regimented all his NFL career and, you know, been dealing with Belichick and all that. I think he's out here just doing stuff he want to do. And like you said, the people, he ain't got to, you know, train for games. Maybe he can finally just let his hair down. And as far as the Vanderbilt in Tennessee, I think Clark Lee, with the back season he had, I mean, he kind of like with Stoops and Kentucky, man, he probably have 300-500 seasons in a row before any rumbling start up about him. But this year, Eifel's going to be on the hot seat if he don't start turning around this year, even though he's loaded everywhere but quarterback. But he better start doing something this year. And, Adam, real quick, this might sound crazy because I was telling my partners, if Eifel don't make it, why come they don't look at T. Martin? Everybody think I'm crazy. But, you know, I think being a head coach ain't really about play calling. It's about recruiting. It's about fundraising. It's about leadership. And it's about game management. I don't think you have to be a great play caller. You just need to be all them things. And thanks for taking my call, Adam, and have a great show.
Thank you, Bear. I might make the argument here, Connor. You tell me if I'm nuts. I might make the argument here that Vanderbilt is under more pressure.
Really?
I understand that Tennessee is the more storied program, and Bear is right. It was a frustrating and disappointing season for Tennessee this past season, punctuated by the Volunteers getting their asses kicked at home against Vanderbilt. That certainly stings. 1 year after making it to the college football playoff, I might add. But here's why I think Vanderbilt, you can make the argument that Vanderbilt is under more pressure in 2026. The Commodores are coming off of the best season in school history. 10-3, just missed out on making the college football playoff. The program has won 17 games over the past two seasons, which has only been done one other time in program history. The James Franklin-led Commodores won 18 combined games from 2012 to 2013. But the biggest question about Vanderbilt, which I'm sure Clark Lee is going to be asked. I believe he speaks tomorrow. So I'm sure Clark Lee is going to get a ton of questions about this tomorrow at SEC Media Days. What does the post-Diego Pavia era look like at Vanderbilt? We all know how much influence Diego Pavia had in the transformation of the Vanderbilt football program. And I think Vanderbilt as a whole, not just the football team, the basketball programs, of course, the baseball program, the Commodores have been putting such an emphasis on athletics that I don't think Vanderbilt fans are going to be like, yeah, you know, it was fun for 2 years, but, you know, as Willie would say, we're Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt.
And, you know, it was fun, but we're going to go back to caring more about academics and our football team. Yeah, whatever. Like, I think Vanderbilt might be past that. And part of me wonders, okay, with Diego Pavia gone, the Commodores breaking in Jared Curtis, will Commodores fans give the team a pass this season if things don't go swimmingly? And maybe that's what happens. But I think after the heights that this program has reached over the past 2 years, I don't think you can just snap your fingers and say, okay, we'll go back to sort of not caring. I think it's really important for the Commodores to continue to build off the momentum that Diego Pavia built. And we're not expecting Jared Curtis to come in and replace Diego Pavia, as I understand, completely different quarterbacks. But I could make the argument, Connor, that Vanderbilt is under more pressure than Tennessee.
It's a fair argument. I think there's sides to both teams. You're right. I'm curious what Vanderbilt looks like in the post-Diego Pavia era. I think if Jared Curtis is going to start, I'm curious how they handle a five-star quarterback of that caliber that they've never seen before. But I would argue that Tennessee is under more pressure just because I think the expectations are always going to be higher for Tennessee than Vanderbilt. You have more resources there. Historically speaking, athletically, Tennessee has more resources than Vanderbilt does. That may be changing right now. It's a very valid argument. But I would argue, you know, Tennessee had the opportunity to go bring a solidified quarterback in college football. They didn't do that. They bring in Jim Knowles, who is a notable defensive coordinator coming from Penn State, has done a lot of successful things in his career. You have the whole Chaz Coleman situation that played out, and that's a loss, and I think that will help them a little bit. But you want to see development in the Josh Heupel era, and it started off on a high. You have the season with Hendon Hooker, which is historical, and you know it looked like Vols football was back. You make the college football playoff the next year. And then after that, it's just been a steady, you know, 9-3, 8-4. It's kind of more of the same from Vols football. So for that reason, I think Vandy coming off the season they're coming off of, I think it's fair to expect a little bit of a come down period where they, you know, maybe not regress isn't the right word, but they come back to earth. They become sort of the middle of the pack SEC team. And that's not a bad thing for Vanderbilt standards. For Tennessee, that fan base expects to dominate year in and year out. And they haven't in a really long time. And they've been searching for the coach that's been going to be able to get them over the top. They think Heupel is that guy, and he hasn't proven that so far. So I think this is the year that the seat for Josh Heupel starts to heat up. If he continues this path and there's more of the same and they finish 8-4 or 7-5 or something around that area, then I think it's a disappointment of a season, and I think Tennessee's under a lot more pressure than Vanderbilt is.
For Vanderbilt, there are ready-made excuses if things don't go well. The Commodores are missing, of course, Diego Pavia, Heisman Trophy runner-up this past season, three of their top four receivers from last season, four starting offensive linemen from last season, and 8 of 11 regulars in the defensive front six. So I think in terms of the percentage of returning production on both sides of the ball, Vanderbilt is the worst team in the SEC in terms of the percentage of returning production.
Yeah.
So there are ready-made excuses for the Commodores if things don't go well. Clark Lee certainly will not accept any of those excuses. And again, I am very curious to hear how he discusses this tomorrow when he takes the stage at SEC Media Days. On the Tennessee front, I would say that Tennessee's schedule favors the Volunteers. Of their toughest games, I think three of four of them are at home.
Yeah.
The Vols have Texas at home.
Bama.
They've got Alabama at home, and they've got LSU
yeah.
at home. On the road in the SEC, they're at Arkansas, they're at South Carolina, they're at Texas A&M, and they're at Vanderbilt. So, though, I mean, look, you're going to play tough games in the SEC, but I would say the Vols' three hardest games this season, or at least three of four, are at Neyland Stadium. So perhaps that does, to your point, put more pressure on Josh Heupel and the Vols this season because you have the toughest opponents on your schedule at home, and you've got to take care of business at home. So I understand your point that historically Tennessee is the much better football program, but Vanderbilt is coming off of the best season in school history. And I think it would be a major disappointment if the Commodores completely fall off the map. I think they're not going to be as good as they were last year. I think it would be really difficult for Vanderbilt to be as good as it was last year. Things just worked out so well for them. But when you're missing so many important players on both sides of the ball, you're breaking in a freshman quarterback. I also think that plays into the pressure for Vanderbilt. You've got Jared Curtis, the highest rated prospect in program history. He's local. We talked about this last week on the show when it was projected that Blaze Berlewitz was going to start at quarterback, at least to start the season for Vanderbilt. They want to see the kid. The Commodores fans want to see Jared Curtis. There's a lot of excitement about Jared Curtis. So I think there's pressure on Clark Lee to make sure that Jared Curtis is ready as soon as possible. And when he gets out there, there are going to be a lot of people that are hoping that he lives up to the hype.
I think program expectations and fan expectations are two totally different things. You know this in covering the Predators.
Yes.
I would imagine that the Predators' expectations inside the locker room don't quite fit with the expectations of what the common fan wants to see. I think the same thing is true for college football. So that being said, the program expectations for Vanderbilt are probably to try and replicate a season like they had last year. But I think deep down internally, they know with this roster they have and the schedule that they have and the other things that play into factor, it's just probably not likely. Tennessee, I think, is the opposite. With that schedule they had, like you mentioned, an easy schedule, sort of. You play a lot of your tough teams at home.
An advantageous schedule. Advantageous. Let's call it that.
That's a good word. With a schedule like that, inside that program, I think they expect success. And every program should expect success before the season starts. That's how it works. We're in sunshine and rainbow season. But program mentality and fan mentality are different. Fan mentality for Vandy, I think they're a little bit more level-headed than, oh my God, we're going to go out there and we're going to go 10-2 again. I think they are reasonable in expecting a little bit of a come-down period, like I said. And you know, being middle of the pack in the SEC with a true freshman quarterback that you managed to flip committed to one of the top universities and top football programs in the nation, I think that's, you know, that's on the right trajectory. I would be okay with that. I would kill for my program to go 6-6 this year. It'd be great. Tennessee, I think that's a fan base that expects to go 12-0 every year, and unrealistically so. That program, I think, expects to make the college football playoff. And if they don't, then it's a failure of a season. And you know how that fan base is. If they don't make the college football playoff, it is the worst team of all time. They are immediately calling for people's jobs. They are immediately petitioning to go to another fan base. They're crazy in a good way and also a bad way. But depending on who you root for. I'm just saying, I think in terms of who's under the more pressure, it's an objective view of the fan. Like I would imagine Vandy fans would say we're under more pressure than Tennessee fans. To me, from an outsider perspective, I lean more Tennessee, but I agree with you, and I think both are under some fair amount of pressure.
615-737-1025. Which SEC team is under more pressure in 2026? Vanderbilt or Tennessee? We've each made our case for both programs. You tell us. 615-737-1025. Today was Tennessee Day at SEC Media Days. Clark Lee and Vanderbilt will be part of SEC Media Days tomorrow. 615-737-1025 On the other side, we'll dive into some more SEC Media Days topics. 615-737-1025. Connor Newt, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
You said you came here because you can believe you can win here. Why is that? Kentucky historically has fought against the narrative, against perception. Why do you think you can win big here?
This is going to sound like really, I think because of me, to be honest.
I played that just for you, Connor Newt.
I'm fired
New
up.
Kentucky coach Will Stein.
I'm fired up.
How can you turn Kentucky around? That was Will Stein's version of Kirk Cignetti's Google me. Because of me. We're going to turn it around because of me. How does that make you feel as our resident Wildcat to hear that?
I'm fired up. I'm ready to go. I mean, he's not lying. It's not. I mean, he could have played the safe way and go, yeah, because I think we have a really good roster and blah, blah, blah. But every coach in America is going to do that. He understands that he was brought here for a reason, and that reason is to, I don't even want to say resurrect, start something at Kentucky that hasn't been done before, a prominent football program. And look, it's, you know this being a fan of a basketball school as well, it's, football will never come before basketball at that university. Just like I don't think football comes before basketball at Duke or North Carolina or Kansas or those blue blood colleges that care about basketball more. But it would be nice to see Kentucky be good at a sport that's not basketball. So I'm excited. I'm really fired up to hear that.
13 years of the Mark Stoops experience wasn't enough for you?
Yeah. I mean, there were some good moments. That 2018 season with Benny Snell where they won 9 games, and then the 2021 season with Levis where they won 10 games. There were some good moments, but it was, you know, largely
4-4 in bowl games under Mark Stoops.
Yeah.
Winning record 82-80.
There you go. Yeah, it was more of the same. He was almost Jeff Fisher. Just should have lost 2 more games.
Lost a couple more games if he had the chance. He would have been 82-82. One texter says, on our conversation about Tennessee and Vanderbilt, what are the odds of both Tennessee and Vandy starting their freshman 5-star quarterbacks? I mean, I think it's pretty high.
I think that's pretty likely.
Faison Brandon and Jared Curtis. It sounds like, from the reports I've read out of Knoxville, that Brandon is probably going to start for Tennessee. We talked about this last week. Pete Nakos of On3 projected every starting quarterback in the SEC, and he had Blaise Berlowitz starting for Vanderbilt. Now, Nakos did not specify if that meant through the whole season or just in week one, and it wouldn't shock me if Berlowitz started the beginning of the season and Jared Curtis, you know, 2-3 games in, is starting quarterback for the Vanderbilt Commodores. But to answer the texter's question, I think the odds of both Tennessee and Vandy starting their freshman 5-star quarterbacks is pretty high. So today being the opening of SEC Media Days in Tampa, Commissioner Greg Sankey did his State of the SEC address. And the one thing that he said that generated the most headlines, reading directly here from The Athletic, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey reiterated Monday that talk of the conference breaking away is quote-unquote real and not a leverage play. The idea of an SEC breakaway from the NCAA, ranging from making its own rules to staging its own playoff, has been simmering within the conference for a while, then became a talking point at SEC spring meetings in late May. We actually have the clip of Greg Sankey addressing this. Again, this is Greg Sankey earlier today at SEC Media Days, talking about whether the SEC could truly break away from the rest of college football.
Real are the conversations within the SEC about potentially breaking away from the college structure as we know it? And in any way, is that being used as leverage in the conversations you're having with Congress about the bill?
So you phrased the question, Eddie, of how real. So I'll take that as like real or not real. So they're real. People have talked about that. They've opined about the frustrations that bring them to the point of saying we should look at something significantly different. I do not believe that is a leverage point. I think that's just honest communication. I would prefer that stay in a meeting room or on a video conference and not be part of the D1 ticker the next morning, but I don't control all of that. Eddie, what I think is important is those comments represent a high level of frustration with the circumstance in which we find ourselves.
That was Greg Sankey, again, addressing the idea that the SEC could break away and start its own thing, basically. And I will admit that if there is a league that could pull this off, it would be the SEC. But when we talked about this, Willie, Derek, and I, when we talked about this in late May, when this came up during SEC spring meetings, Willie and Derek, specifically Willie, thought this idea was so laughable, he did not even want to entertain the conversation. So let me ask you this question, Connor Newt, as someone who loves the SEC. How real do you think this is?
It's unfortunately scarily real. I think when and if this happens, it's the death of college football as we know it. And that's unfortunate because, as we know, college football right now isn't perfect. But people still watch, and we still love it. And, I mean, clearly we still love it. We're talking about it in late July just to get excited about something because there's no sports going on right now other than baseball, really. And I guess if you like MLS, good for you. But it's frighteningly real because it keeps coming up. And I think the Big Ten is going to get involved in this too. If college football as we know it right now and doesn't get some guardrails and doesn't get some help politically, I guess we could say, then it's going to come further and further into motion to where we break off and we have three separate leagues and three different national champions. I think we've talked about this before, or I've talked about this with someone else before. I liken it to, let's talk wrestling for a second. Do you remember in 2011, Punk wins the title, he goes off, and then they crown Cena the champion, and then Punk comes back, and they're both the champions?
Yes.
That's how it will be. It will be the SEC and the Big Ten's league winning their national championship that they've created, claiming they're the real champions. Then you'll have whoever's left over in the NCAA winning that national championship, claiming they're the champions. There's no real decision there. And it's unfortunate because I don't want to see the SEC and the Big Ten break off and only play each other. I like the depth that comes with it. I like seeing the SEC and the Big 12 do battle. I like seeing, in basketball, the SEC and the ACC challenge. I think that's fun. And it's not just because it's fun. It's because it provides balance to the sport. It would be like if one of the continents of the world decided we're not going to be with Earth, we're going to go with Mars. It doesn't make sense. So I think it's scarily real that we're talking about this. I think it's frighteningly real that the commissioner is reiterating that this is in fact a thing. And quite frankly, no offense to Willie, of course, and he's not here to defend himself, so I feel sorry for saying this. If you're laughing at the idea that this isn't real, nor is never going to happen, nor is such a overreaction, then I'm sorry. It's not. It's a real thing, and it's a very big topic that hopefully gets prevented.
Well, the SEC will claim, and Greg Sankey is quick to claim, that the SEC is the strongest league in the country, despite the fact that it's been, what now, three years of an SEC team not being in the college football playoff championship game. But historically, the SEC is the strongest college football conference in America. And I hear what you're saying. I am not dyed-in-the-wool SEC because I did not grow up in SEC country. I grew up in ACC country. So having lived in Nashville now for more than 11 years, I understand how important the SEC is to the greater college sports landscape, especially in football. And because of the level of competition, if the SEC were to do this, how devalued would a championship be? I mean, how many programs outside of the SEC would, I'm trying to think of the best way to phrase this. Like, if the SEC held its own, had its, it was its own thing, it had its own championship, like how many formidable teams are missing? Indiana at this moment in time, I guess Notre Dame, Michigan, Oregon,
Ohio right? State. Yeah.
So you're missing some. You're missing some. But I still think that the SEC has a strong enough roster of teams that I don't know if it would be as devalued as people think.
Yeah, I'm interested if this does happen and the SEC and let's say the Big Ten follows suit with them, they break away, how many teams from the ACC and the Big 12 would join them? Like, would Duke follow suit to play big dogs in the basketball league? Would North Carolina follow? Would Kansas? In football, would you see Texas Tech and, Clemson and Miami follow suit? I'm wondering if that would be the way things would go. But I don't think it would be as devalued if that were to happen. But at the same time, it wouldn't be as valued as it is now, where you have 138 FBS teams competing for the same championship, and maybe not rightfully so, because you can't convince me there's a way that Eastern Michigan and Texas are in the same boat playing for the same national championship. But at the same time, if that happens, there's going to be a massive devaluing of their national championship compared to what we have now.
615-737-1025. You heard Greg Sankey earlier today at SEC Media Days. He says this breakaway talk is real, not just bluster. Part of me thinks it's still mostly bluster, but he's claiming it's not.
It's a load of barnacles.
Yes. This is a load of barnacles. The SEC, one texter says, the SEC breaking away kills all college sports. So long, March Madness, and all non-revenue sports. I mean, there are so many dominoes that would fall if this actually happens. And again, I still think it's mostly bluster. Maybe I'm naive. But that's what Greg Sankey said earlier today. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, I heard this conversation recently on Robbie and Rex Road during their regular Wednesday morning visit with Paul Kaharsky of PaulKaharsky.com. And I think this would be an interesting question to debate about the Tennessee Titans. Reading directly from Paul's website, which former Titan would sting most if he thrives elsewhere? L'Jarius Sneed, Tavondre Sweat, or Bill Callahan? 615-737-1025. We will attempt to answer that question coming up next. Connor Newt, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.